Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to coverage of the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings. Presented by your San Diego Honda dealers on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You're screaming. Yeah.
I'm not screaming.
You're screaming.
I'm not screaming at you. You have to push the buttons. Ball's not here. Mm. Someone needs to push the buttons to make sure we're on the air.
See how he treats me? This is how it goes. It's amazing.
It's Ben and Woods going until 10 o'clock today. The bonus hour. Well, it's not really the bonus hour. This is the 5 a.m. hour shifted to 9 a.m. So we can go right into the Coach John Quintero show at 10 o'clock today and continue our live coverage from baseball's winter meetings. We're at the Manchester Grand Hyatt downtown. Coach will be on from 10 to 2, and then Gwynn and Chris coming in from 2 to 6. I'm told that Don Mattingly is supposed to stop by the table this afternoon. A.J. Preller, they're working on him as well. I haven't nailed down the exact time on that one yet, but hopefully Padres general manager going to be part of the conversation as well.
Pretty solid day for the coach, man. Coach was really busy yesterday. My God, every time I looked up, I'm like, oh, there's Joe Torre. I mean, he had a ton of guys yesterday.
Stan Kasten. Danny Alderson came by, former president of the Padres, here stopped by. So, Coach, I'm sure we'll have another big show as well. You know what? One thing that I really enjoy about the baseball winter meetings being in San Diego, probably more than I should, is seeing all the, like, visiting media come in and enjoy the best of San Diego.
No doubt about it.
For instance, last night I saw Eno Saris,
yep,
from The Athletic tweeting from Lucha Libre, just down the way off India Street, having one of those big Lucha Libre surfing California burritos or something. I saw Kyle Bodhi, Driveline, now with the Reds organization,
yep,
doing some craft beer, chips and salsa. Craig Calcaterra from NBC Sports was at the Crack Shack having one of those, like, maple chicken fried egg sandwich,
yeah,
things.
It's, I mean, it really is.
It's good advertisement,
you know, it's,
though.
And it's a city to be proud of, and it's a city people love to come to. And, you know, we love when they're here. We also love when they leave as well because, you know, we spend a pretty penny to live here, Benny. But, no, it's definitely a place to be proud of when people come to town. And, boy, sure would be nice to have a giant arena and a big stadium. We could do Super Bowls and Olympics and all that stuff. I mean, I guess be careful what you wish for, because I think I would do nothing but bitch about it if it actually did happen. But, you know, in a pie in the sky, it'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a World Series. It's not a Super Bowl and an All-Star game. But all these people have, you know, massive followers on Twitter.
Yep.
They see them coming to San Diego, enjoying the town, you know, tweeting about where they're going to eat and what they're going to see. And it's good. It's good for business here in town that, you know, people were somewhere in the middle of the country in winter going, man, that looks like a fun place to go to just from the winter meetings being here. So there's value.
Yeah, just don't move
having
here.
Events like this.
Just don't move
just
here.
Visit.
Just visit.
Spend your money.
All
of it, and then go back where you're from.
Maybe stop by 7 Mile Casino on your way. Just 7 minutes from right here, Ben.
Well, it's like eight.
We got a minute,
you know, drive and a 20-minute walk from where we parked by Petco Park.
But it's not called 8 Mile Casino. So
no.
It's 7 miles.
Well, it's not 8 miles from here. It's seven miles from Petco Park.
That's exactly right.
That's the difference.
We should have done a friggin' winter meetings party at 7 Mile Casino. Shame on us for not thinking that one through, Benny.
Because we could have gotten everyone just 7 minutes.
Right
on down the road. Would anyone have showed up to our party, though?
Not like they would for the bigger parties. But, I mean, we could have gotten some. Randy Jones probably would have been there. Just tell Randy there's snacks there. He would have come.
That's true.
Randy loves snacks. There's AJ Casavell, Intercom Zone. Look at you. You got any scoops?
No. Later.
Oh, look at you.
Later.
Cool. Save them. Hey, save them for the other shows. We don't want them. We're good. We're good. Maybe we can talk to the guy that rolls that cart through here. No?
No.
Tampa Bay Rays, empty table over there. No, I've not seen anyone there all weekend or all week.
I am a little bummed that our grand plan to have a San Diego State World Series MVP,
yes,
NBA Finals MVP, and Super Bowl MVP appears to be shot out the window.
I feel
with Rashad Penny going down for
and
the season.
More than that, obviously, is just the guy was finally getting his due. You know, not his due, but like he was finally the game had slowed down for Rashad Penny, and he was figuring it out at the NFL level, and really had become this beastly two-headed monster for the Seahawks, and he went down, and he's out for the rest of the year. ACL, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, you hate to see that for a young kid that, you know, when we talked to Softy Mahler, you know, legendary broadcaster from Seattle area, when they first drafted him and he didn't have a very good camp, and it was Softy Mahler was basically saying, who is this kid, and why do we have him, and why did we waste this pick on him? Well, then you've seen his progression, and he's gotten better and better and better, and then he got really good, really good, and you start to think, holy cow, could this guy be, you know, the featured back for the Seahawks? And he was looking like he was on that path.
Yeah, it's starting to get the feel that he's a little snake bit here in his NFL
you
career.
You hate it too, man.
You know, battled through all the injuries the first year. And just when he's about to, you know, look like have a breakthrough out for the season again. And he'll have to start from you know, ground zero again next year.
Yeah.
I mean, start building back up confidence, trust. Earn the playing time, earn the carries again, assuming he gets back healthy. It's such a tough road to do that.
I spoke too soon. The Tampa Bay Rays guy just got here. I was just kidding.
The guy with the backpack?
Yeah, you're putting in good work. God, I'm going to get in a fight, but I don't know. I don't know who that is. Why would a team?
You know, don't worry yourself about it.
All right, but I'm just curious. I'm an inquisitive guy. Why? What does a team need a table for? Just to do interviews? Like it's the only team.
Yeah, it could
I've
be
seen.
Like their could be their digital staff.
Okay.
You know, doing some sort of reports.
Right. They put them right under
them back for the website.
They put them right under the doo-doo sculpture too. Not the optimal seating arrangement.
Well, I hope there's no like war between the Padres and the Rays over this trade.
Oh, I know. I'm still.
That may or may not be still stuck in medicals at this point.
We should know AJ Preller yesterday talking, of course, about Tommy Pham, the trade that sent Hunter Renfro to Tampa. Their GM says it's done. We've got it in the books, and we're welcoming them here, and we're sending our guys there, and that gives me a little bit of concern, a little bit of room for pause, but. Hopefully, AJ was pretty confident yesterday that it would be about 24 hours, so I'm assuming we should know something this afternoon. I did tell you I saw him over the weekend, him being Tommy Pham on his Instagram. The guy was working out like a lunatic workout. He was pushing one sled, and he was dragging another one behind him. Then he was doing the trap bar with bands on it. Then he was doing something with his arm, like getting range of motion with his elbow. So he looked good, and he is in full training mode. I don't know what that means. Obviously, the doctor saw something they didn't like, and hopefully that thing gets done.
I think the Padres are right to be careful. I mean, the last thing you want to – it's not like they gave up nothing in the deal.
Right.
You know, Hunter Renfro, while, yeah, has some limitations in, you know, on-base percentage, average – has power.
Yep.
His defense turned a corner. I mean, he has value out there on the market. Xavier Edwards is considered by many to be one of the top prospects in the Padres organization. He definitely has value. He's young. He's controllable. You're going to give up a package like that. You need to make sure that what you're getting back is going to contribute, is going to be, at least for a couple of years, is going to help you win some ball games. So, you know, they only control him, I believe, 2 years of control for Tommy Pham. If all of a sudden you find out this first
he's
year
out 6 months,
yeah, it's going to be touch and go, and he's not going to, you know, be ready until All-Star break, something like that. That completely changes the equation of the trade. The value for value that you thought you were getting isn't necessarily going to be there. So, I mean, I'd be careful if I was AJ Preller as well. Why did they announce it already? I mean, that's
kind of the world.
A bit of a mystery.
Well, that's kind of the world we live in too. I mean, it was announced days before it was quote unquote completed, and it still really hasn't been completed. So, hopefully, everything gets squashed and Tommy Pham's healthy and ready to jam, and the arm feels good. And you know, listen, there's a couple of injuries to worry about with some of the guys we picked up already. You know, Profar. Had some issues as well, and I know they've assessed those and they're working through that as well. So, you know, no team can overcome a vast amount of injuries. It's really, really hard to do, much less the San Diego Padres. You'd hate to see two new guys that we picked up, we thought were going to be big contributors, start the season injured or don't even make it to the season.
So, Woodsy, I am told that we will be joined shortly by the assistant general manager and vice president of player development for the Washington Nationals.
Get out of here.
You know, just signed Steven Strasburg. He also happens to be the second member of the Boone family we're going to have on in the last hour. One of San Diego's leading baseball families, Bob Boone. I believe Paul is on his way to go find him.
Excellent.
And bring him to our table. So
legendary.
On that. Coming up next, we continue our live coverage from baseball's winter meetings. Again, all of 97.3 The Fan's coverage this week of the 2019 MLB winter meetings presented by your San Diego Honda dealers. Take advantage of end-of-the-year offers on your favorite Honda model. Your San Diego Honda dealers are ready to wrap up a deal you'll love at their Happy Honda Day sales event. Visit sdhondadealers.com. Looking for Bob Boone to join the program next on Ben and Woods right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Live from the Manchester Grand Hyatt, this is coverage of the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings, presented by your San Diego Honda dealers on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We are back here live at baseball's Winter Meetings. Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Talked to Brett Boone a little while ago.
Yep.
Where did he get all his wisdom and knowledge? Well, how about the person who's sitting down with us right now? I was trying to figure out how to introduce him. I know he works in the Nationals front office, but he doesn't need any introduction in San Diego. The great baseball family, Bob Boone, legendary catcher and now a World Series champion with the Nationals. Congratulations,
Thank
sir.
Thank you very much. I've been fighting to get another, get a title. When I was with the Phillies, we won in 1980. I was laughing about it. I said, only took me 39 years.
Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy just how hard, and I don't think people really understand just how hard it is to climb that mountain. You know, as a player, as a GM, as an assistant GM, as a front office person, it's really hard to do.
Well, yes. I mean, moving up the ladder always is. I know we just experienced that World Series, and I just used to beat on guys. And I'm telling you, I had a record at one time as a player tied with Don Sutton and Reggie Jackson. I'm sure it's expunged now because there's so many more playoff games. But the three of us had the most losing playoff games in history. I said, well, that means we were there a lot. But I'm telling you, it's hard. It's hard to win. It's really hard. It's not always the best team. You need a lot of heart. You need a lot of fight. And you need a lot of breaks.
Well, and that's I think, the thing that kind of sums up the national season, you know, last year. A lot of heart and a lot of fight. And the team was pretty much written off. You know, at the beginning of the year. And then you guys went on this run and really ripped off the best record in baseball after that bad start.
It really wasn't so much a run as it was we made a couple bullpen moves.
Yep.
And then the guys, the way they played, they just decided, okay, we know we're really good and we're going to play really good.
And they did.
And they did. It's really kind of a miracle. If you'd seen the team before that, everybody's going to get fired.
Yeah, everybody was losing
their
job.
And all of a sudden, wham. And you expect to win every day. And, of course, we have the ability to throw a really good pitcher out there every night. And
one or two, yeah.
That really helps. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Well, you guys locked up just one Strong. Of the best to yeah. do it yesterday. Locked him up, and he's going to remain a National for a long time. And I know you guys had to be really excited with that yesterday.
Very excited yesterday. You know, I get asked all the time, would you sign this guy? Or would you like this guy? And I say, of course. And then the owner asked me, well, it's going to cost this much money. I said, you asked me if I wanted it.
Yeah, I
wanted
it.
Absolutely
wanted it. Absolutely.
I said, I don't know. I mean, the costs are way over my head.
That's
I
on
mean,
you, my
I
friend,
mean,
yeah.
For, you know, they'll tell me, well, $30 million is a lot. And I said, you know, I think a million's kind of a lot, too. I said, but I can't answer. I said, I'm in charge of making the team better. He makes the team better. I want him.
Yeah.
You know, if you ask me if about the money aspect, I said, you got to show me your books.
Yeah, that's not my department.
I don't know if it's a good deal or not.
It is interesting, the economics of baseball, how they've changed. Yesterday, I had the news conference announcing about Marvin Miller going into the Baseball Hall of Fame and obviously his contributions. Ted Simmons as well, a catcher that I'm sure you know pretty
well,
getting in. Just some thoughts, though, on kind of how that changed, because you were kind of there – A little kind of the beginning part of that, well, of that change.
Did you have to have a second job in the off season? Did you play ball and then go home and sell insurance or something? Or
No, not when I was a big leaguer. I should have. In the first year, minimum salary or the salary.
The salary.
Was $15,000.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And I became a player rep for the Phillies and then became the National League player rep, or the president of the National League for about 12 years under Marvin. And it was, when people asked me about Marvin, I said, you know, I'd gone to Stanford and had a lot of interest in education, and I started going up to the meetings, and Marvin was like a professor. You just sat there and
you just listen.
And learned a lot, and watched him do his job and how he brought people together, which is the big thing that was needed. And at the time, you know, we won some big deals.
Yeah.
But the players were underfunded so badly, we were really strong. And we talk about it, and then the last commissioner.
Bud.
But Seeley did a great job. He should be the next guy in the Hall of Fame. He went 10, 12 years with no conflict.
Yep.
And people started realizing, and it was my big thing, is that this is a pendulum effect. You know, when both sides are making money and that pendulum's sitting there's no striking here.
Yeah.
When the pendulum gets way over, now you got a lot of strength. You know, we always talk about how strong the players' association. Well, it was because the pendulum was so far away.
Yep.
That now we are strong. It's like, no, we're not coming back. Now we're not losing anything.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden the pendulum gets on the player's side, and it's like, wait a minute, we can't strike.
Yeah, of course.
We're not going to fight as hard.
That's fascinating.
And when you keep the pendulum in the middle, we've had peace.
Yes.
And
that's what we're all hoping for, you know, moving forward. And I think this off season, and we're joined right now by legendary Bob Boone. On Ben and Woods, and you know, we're all hoping that peace continues, and it certainly looks, based on some of the contracts we're seeing now, and it just feels different than it did last year.
I don't know. We're talking so much about, boy, things are happening faster. Well, the only guy we've signed is Strauss.
Yeah, yeah. For you,
I don't
guys,
know
right.
if it's faster, but
right.
but it's definitely. Definitely a lot better when there is peace from both sides.
No doubt.
And you know, there's been so much success on both sides. I mean, we're seeing dollar amounts now that are just
staggering.
Blowing your mind.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can't even comprehend that. It's like, how can you turn that number down? I don't even know what it is, but I know one thing. You never have to work again.
Never.
Neither
does
your
yeah.
family
right.
or your grandkids.
Bob, you won 7 gold gloves in your career, 4-time All-Star. And I feel like the defensive metrics of catchers nowadays, we talk about it a lot. We got a catcher here in San Diego, Austin Hedges, who,
right.
I mean, they say he's the best pitch framer in baseball. Obviously, that's probably not something you thought a lot about when you were catching.
Well, I thought about it a lot.
You did think about it
a lot. I was really good at it.
They didn't know how to measure it back then. Like
yeah,
they
we didn't
do
measure
today.
It. Just,
he just did it.
Well, I just don't tell anybody. I mean, I talk to the umpires every day. I said, no, I'm catching it correctly. I said, you're talking to me about that. I said, the people in the stands don't see it.
Yeah.
So they're not on your rear end.
Yeah.
I said, I know these players coming up to bat are pissed off at you, but it's about catching correctly. And Hedges is really good. I've watched him a lot.
Nowadays
as far
they
as
want
the,
more offense.
Well,
out of the catching
stat,
position, though. I mean, how important is that?
Well, it's big important.
Yeah.
I mean, there's guys being traded on that stat and signed because of that stat, because that is so important. The problem with that, from my standpoint, is I look at catcher. A big part of my job is helping catchers be better catchers. And how do you do it? And to me, the problem I have with when you rate somebody on those numbers, I'll guarantee if you catch Greg Maddux, you catch these guys who really put it there that are really good, they get more strikes.
Yeah.
We had 100 years ago. We played a game in San Diego with Jim Cott and Randy Jones. Now, Randy Jones, when he got the Cy Young, he lost 20 games.
You were out of there
year.
In time for dinner, I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
The next day, we played. It was like an hour and 10-minute
yep.
game.
It's amazing.
And, you know, the outside corner was about 4 inches wide, and Jim Cott could put it there. And Randy could certainly put it there. You know, you step out of the box and I know where Randy's going to throw it. He's going to throw it to the outside. I can't even reach it, and I'm standing on top of the plate. And when you get that, Boy, the catcher had a great night.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Great pitch,
you know, and when you know, if you caught Greg Maddux, it was a strike.
Yeah. When and I then was, you got a rookie who's throwing, you know, wild 95, but you don't know where it's going. The umpire doesn't even give you when it's crossing
it
the plate.
Well,
yeah.
I'll never forget. It was my first year, a rookie year with the Phillies, and we're playing the Mets, and every time we played the Mets, Tom Seaver's pitching.
Of course.
Tom Seaver was the greatest pitcher I ever saw.
And I was going to ask you who the hardest one yet that you faced.
Well, I got hits off. Well, I shouldn't say I got hits off him. I got more hits off of him than any other pitcher. A guy sent me a whole stat thing one day, and I'm going, really? I said, he's the best. I said, but he'd let me get a hit. I'd get a hit off him. But if you had players out there or something, just forget it. It was my rookie year. I was standing up here hitting. Now, he could throw a slider away on the black as good as anybody. And he'd throw a fastball and start low and rise to your knee.
Ugh.
And I asked the umpire. He called a pitch. And I said, I stepped out. I said, that's not even close. I said, what's the deal? And he said, Bob, that's Mr. Seaver on the mound.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now I know. Why don't you take a bat?
Yeah, now I know.
And I'll just go back to the dugout.
Amazing. I love it. I love it. This is all day.
You know, we talked a little bit about the Steven Strasburg contract earlier. Your boss and the Washington Nationals owner has said in the past, recently, there's probably only one him or Anthony Rendon.
Right.
So where does that leave the Nationals right now? Because Rendon was certainly as big a part of that World Series title as anyone last year.
Rendon, well, the two of them.
Were. Yeah.
I mean, Stras, who was great, has really, I don't say learned how to pitch. He came in as such a great pitcher. But he's changed. You know, he's not just a velocity thrower. He's got such a great curveball.
The changeup.
You watch the pictures that they can show you on TV now where here's three pitches that are leaving the hand
the
in
overlay.
The same spot.
Yeah.
And they all move 6 feet in different directions. And Strauss is fantastic. And I mean, we don't win without him.
Yeah.
We don't win without Scherzer. We don't win without Rendon, for sure.
Soto, yeah.
We
I mean, it's just what
Soto.
A team.
And so when you start breaking that up, it's like, wait, we just got here. We've been 15 years trying to get here. We just got here. You can't break this up now.
Yeah.
When you're really good, you got to get paid.
That's exactly right.
And you know, there's limits. There's certainly limits on every owner's pocketbook, but there's also the limits on where you get taxed if you go over your money. So,
well, and we've seen so many teams win a World Series and then blow the thing up the next year. I mean, credit to the Nationals for at least right now, they brought back their ace. They brought back that World Series MVP that got them there.
And a big part of it is the player wanted to be here. You know, I mean, there was so much energy and talk, you know, because Strauss from San Diego.
Well, we wanted him here back.
It's like, whoa, that was the perfect spot.
Perfect fit.
But he had already moved. He had a family. And there's a lot, too. I've always argued about it because there's only two handfuls of people that have played in the same team for their entire career.
Yep.
And for me, that's really special. I think what Ripken did, what George Brett did in staying there, it's you know, you get your family, you get your friends, the kids in school, you know, you don't have to change or move back, or the kids are going to school and you got to come back to San Diego.
Paychecks are bigger and you don't have to move and it's not a big pain.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, and whatever the numbers are now, you never have to work again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you just got to find somebody to invest it
right,
not lose it.
You know, one person who always said that he enjoyed turning over the back of his baseball card and seeing the same team listed for every season was Tony Gwynn.
Yep.
Tony Gwynn,
question.
Who happened to also be the baseball coach of Steven Strasburg at San Diego State University.
Well, I mean, Tony was so special. A great basketball player.
Yeah.
Coming out of San Diego State. I mean, you know, when that's my home, I'll do it. And your whole life is taken care of. You have so many friends. You have so many interests. And to you don't have to pack up and pack and go back home or do anything. And, of course, this was his home.
Yep.
And it's just very special. I just think the players, the only players that get to do that are the great players.
There's no doubt about it. You got to be really proud of your boys as well. I mean, you know, big leaguers, and now Aaron, of course, managing the New York Yankees. I mean, what a the job he did last year with that team that was basically spent their life in the trainer's room, and to win all those games and be that close.
It was pretty magical for him.
It was. And
we like Brett a lot, too.
Yeah, Brett's been great. Brett has been great. And so I wanted to ask you, how many grandkids do you have?
10.
Do you want one more? Because I was thinking about bringing my kid over, letting him just grow up around you guys, and then I can be assured that maybe he's in the big leagues.
You got to understand, though. It's my wife, Sue.
Okay. Well, I'm going to show you a picture. I'll show you a picture, and you tell me. Let's add another one to the litter over there, and we'll get him into the bigs someday. I'll drop him off this afternoon.
My youngest son, they just had a baby girl, and we got to babysit for her this weekend. Had a blast.
Yeah, it's the best.
Well, and it's like, well, you're not going to play baseball here for us, but let's see if we can get you to walk early.
Yeah, exactly.
Bob, congratulations on the new grandbaby. Congratulations on the World Series title. Those rings you'll be getting starting next year to go with the one that you got back in 1980 with the Phillies. Well, it's awesome.
It's so special. You spend your whole life. I've spent my whole life.
Yep.
Trying to get a World Series ring. A lot of playoffs we lost. We came this close. There was this play or that play that took it away from
it
you.
Eats at you, I'm sure.
And it's like you just can't imagine how hard it is to win.
Yep.
It's the same way the Super Bowl. There's like one winner this year in football. There's one winner in baseball. And it's like, no, there are a lot of other teams that had great years.
No doubt about
but
it.
But you fell short. And it becomes so pressing on you. You got to win it, and it's really hard. I always tell Mike Rizzo from the time I worked there, I said, "Mike, we got to have heart on this team because heart is what wins it. Everybody's got talent, and it's really hard."
Feels like that's what the Padres are looking for.
Yeah, a lot of heart.
You know, Tommy Pham, some of the acquisitions they're making. Well, Bob, really appreciate it. We've almost had the whole set. We had Brett on.
Yep.
Got Bob on. Can you order Aaron?
Bring Aaron up here. You're his dad. You tell him to come up here.
I don't even talk to Aaron.
You know, it's funny. That's what Brett said.
That's what Brett says, too. Bob, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Bob
Boone, all-star catcher, World Series winner now in the front office with the Washington Nationals. We'll come back, wrap up all the top stories here at the winter meetings next. Bennett Woods, San Diego's number. Oh, by the way, before I go, I do have to remind everyone that all guests appearing on Bennett Woods at the winter meetings brought to you by Wingley Buddha Style Chicken, found at Sinley Foods. It's a lifestyle, not a fad. We're back next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Now, back to the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings, presented by your San Diego Honda dealers on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, little secret about the winter meetings here. What's the, is this your first winter meeting?
It is,
All right, so a little secret. When something happens, it's huge. I mean, you'll see herds of people running down for a news conference. If someone's got a camera in the lobby. And then when nothing's happening, it's kind of quiet.
Yeah, just people kind of hanging out.
Like today, for instance, A.J. Preller is scheduled to meet with the media again later this evening. Mm-hmm. He did it yesterday. He answered all the questions. If they don't make a move today, I have no idea what I would ask him today. I mean, what changes in 25 hours.
Tommy Pham, just update
yeah,
maybe?
One question.
Yeah, there's one.
Go ahead, give me seven more to keep this.
Well, let's bring
going.
In a professional and find out exactly what they would
exactly
ask.
That's exactly what I want to know, because we have Annie Halbrand here from the UT and Fox Sports San Diego. I hope they're going to have you back next year on Fox Sports San Diego.
Well, it's going to be really awkward if they don't now,
right.
Because
yeah.
You know.
What is this bit? I mean, you've done this to every guest today. He's done it to Bookshow.
I hope so.
It's the off season. I hate to commit people to a job that they're not necessarily doing.
Hey, no, if you come on Ben and Woods, bring us a copy of your contract, because Ben wants to pore over it and look.
You guys know as well as I do that it is every year you
nothing
have to.
Nothing is
promised. Nothing is promised. However, I have been told by a little birdie that things appear to continue
to
roll on the same
because,
next year.
Well,
yes.
they finally settled on Bob, Scanlon, and Amy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I mean, after honestly, like 9 straight years where they had one person in and then there was a new person.
Yeah.
The next year was just like, please, just find someone, and they found a couple of great people to stick with.
It's a fun broadcast. Yeah. It's so much fun. So great. It's
so
good.
Yeah. So what are you going to ask AJ?
Okay, so I was thinking about this on the drive down here, listening to you guys, and I was thinking, AJ Preller must want to, like, gouge his eyes out having to do 3 days in a row of pressers. I mean, the guy never does this, you know? So This is a good question. I thought the same thing. I thought, well, we've got our fam update.
Get the fam update.
We'll get a few out of that.
Yeah, what'd you have for lunch today?
Exactly. Did you
go out last night? I mean, that's what people do here.
Did you fix the yips with Jurickson Profar yet? I know it's only been 15 hours, but has there been any progress in that department? Is Austin Hedges, is he working on a new swing?
He did say yesterday that, you know, catchers, they have some interest in their catchers. So maybe has there been any more interest in the last 20 hours.
I think you're on to something about did AJ go out last night? Because
you know
him, he doesn't go out anywhere at any time just to play, pick up basketball, and then he's back to work, and he doesn't like to go out. But here it's almost a requirement.
Yeah, you got a glad hand.
The networking. Yeah. How uncomfortable is he this week?
I feel like this is definitely hide in your hotel room and then get dragged out by people for AJ kind of week and then go back and hide in your hotel room.
He probably texts people that are like two doors down.
Just come in.
Just, you know.
Yeah, my buddy's an agent, and he told me, they go, we do a lot of in-room meetings. You know, there's a lot of, hey, come to room 274 and we'll sit down. And one guy on the bed, one guy sitting at the little tiny table, and they kind of hammer things out in there, out of the public eye, if you will. But
I think that's where most of them are. No, you're exactly right. I'm doing a kind of a sights and sounds video, so I was watching yesterday, and I couldn't get any of the team officials because they hide. They run from the side door to the elevator, up to the rooms. Here's something real interesting, though. This is what I found out. If we weren't doing the pressers downstairs, like in the media room, they're actually in AJ's suite. So we're missing out on seeing, like, what the snacks are in there.
Yeah, yeah,
what's
the good stuff.
You know?
Can you imagine how much the hotel makes on, like, uneaten fruit plates?
Oh, yeah.
And cheese
all the
plates.
Catering.
Every single meeting that goes on in a room. All right, just order a fruit plate that no one's going to touch.
No one's touching it.
Because they were just at five other meetings that all had their own fruit plates that they didn't touch.
Yeah, listen.
You know, it's hotel pricing, so they'll probably get you $30
every
for the
time.
Fruit plate every single
The GM... You know, the look of the GM, the GM's really job duties and descriptions, it's different. It's different than it was 30 years ago. You know, 30 years ago, the GM's down in that bar, scotch, you know, on the rocks for everybody, and they're hammering stuff out. And it's
just... Well, there's not 1,000 members of the media.
Exactly.
And public looky-loos walking around.
There's no Twitter. There's no Instagram. There's like, oh, look at this guy standing on his head. Yeah, it's totally, totally different, but... I feel in my gut, and every time I trust my gut, it's usually wrong, Andy, but I just feel like there's still a flurry of things to do, and he's in that mode where we've already seen him be probably the most active GM, maybe Alex Anthopoulos in Atlanta, but it feels like AJ isn't that, all right, eye on the prize, here we go, let's wheel, let's deal, let's go, and I feel like we're not even close to being done.
I don't think he's being done, and you know what's throwing me off a little is how many times they're saying, well, we've kind of, you know, we've done our deals.
Yes.
We did it before we came in.
We're comfortable with this.
We're comfortable with who we have.
BS.
He's saying it. Jace Tingler's saying it. No,
I think they
have an idea of some more players that they want, and if they doesn't happen, then they're kind of like, okay, well, we can work with, you know, some of these guys, but I definitely think that they're still eyeing.
100%.
Yes,
you
do
have to lay the groundwork. Whatever happens, you don't want to have the offseason end and everyone like us categorize, oh, that was a big disappointment. You know, they had set out they were going to do this, 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 and this, and they only accomplished one or two of those things.
Yeah.
So you do have to start saying right now, well, if we had to go in with this starting rotation as it was, I really like it right now. That doesn't mean, as like Woods was saying earlier, that in a few weeks they might not add someone else as well and say, hey, this is even better than it was a few weeks ago.
I agree, and I was listening on the way in. I thought you guys had a really good point that there is an upper limit, and if they don't get the starting rotation that they hope for this year, maybe they're eyeing something, and maybe they're just taking a look. I know AJ Preller really does think very highly of the pitching prospects coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if he feels like there's no one else out there that – is better than maybe who they have coming up through the system or the potential of who they have, then I think he rolls with them and then he kind of takes a look after that.
Yeah, and I think there's still some help to be found on offense, and I know there's still a lot of good players out there, and I know there's a lot of trades to be made, and I know we have the capital to do it.
Yeah.
And when he's in these modes, it's hard to stop him.
I think catcher position two is one that
I think
that they will try to do something.
Yes.
Whether or not there's, you know, two willing sides and everything, but I do think that they're really focused on that one.
I'll repeat what I was saying when you were listening earlier, and that is, sure, signing Steven Strasburg would be great. You know he helps the team, but there is some added value to waiting and knowing what positions you have to fill.
Yeah.
If those pitching prospects all turn out great, fantastic. You probably would want to devote those resources then to another area, whether it's catcher or second
base
or center field.
Absolutely.
As opposed to spending all your money on a pitcher now, and it turns out, you know what? We're really, really, really strong on pitching. I wish we had saved some of that money for this area where we're weak. And sometimes it does take time to identify those areas. And, you know, that's what part of this season, while it's definitely going to be about, you know, winning and taking a step forward.
Oh, God, Ben, you just
still,
set us up.
You're still identifying areas where you're – every team does it. You got to identify the areas where you can improve, the areas where you're strong.
I want 90. 90 wins. 90 wins or drop dead. That's it.
It was such a big thing at the end of last year, too, that there was – not as much development this year, like not as much development at the big league level. So I think that there will be more pressure on guys needing to perform.
No doubt.
Earlier than, you know, maybe they've been given in the past, because that's kind of the vibe right now is we're done with this development. It will still happen to some extent, but it can't happen on all positions or on most positions.
It cannot.
And to me, I think that also means we're not bringing up guys who aren't ready for the big leagues just to get
exactly
eyes on them. That's the development that's really hard to watch as a fan.
Yes.
And we've seen it many years here. At the end of the year, this guy, he's got a good tool. Let's see if he can, he's obviously not ready for the big leagues, but let's throw him into the fire and see what happens.
For me, it was like let's pick up Nick Martini and then give him 5 at-bats a game. It's like, he's not part of it. What are we doing? Why is this happening? And that's, I think, the most frustrating thing. And you're not trying to win ball games then. That's when you're – And that's probably why there's been a regime change, and it's going to be different. So, again, I don't want to subscribe to the, hey, it's a fun development year, and we'll see what the young guys got. We've got superstars on this team, period. The end. We have superstars.
Yeah.
They got to play like superstars. And I think there are still a ton. There's still a ton you can do to improve this team.
Yeah, and I think you even look at like Manny Machado at the end of last season. He even came out and said, I didn't play well. His body language wasn't what it should have been.
Yep.
You know, Eric Hosmer can, I'm sure, say the same about some of his last few months and everything and playing at first. And, I mean, there's these guys that just need to, kind of rally the troops and the rest of the team on just a different expectation, a different level. And
losing
that's kind
sucks.
Of the,
losing
yeah.
sucks. And, look, at the end of the day, you may make $25 million.
Yeah.
But if you're showing up to work every day with – little to no chance to win, it's not fun.
It's not
it doesn't
fun.
Matter how much money you have.
Exactly.
It really doesn't. And I think it got to all those. It certainly got to us as fans. It got to us as broadcasters. It got to the players, you could tell. And I really don't fault them. I don't. I don't fault them for the crappy 3 weeks at the end of the year because it sucks.
It was hard. Yeah, exactly. And at that point, you know you're out. You know that there's
no chance.
Right. And there was a huge vibe, kind of a cloud at that point.
Nick Martini's
so.
Out running around there. What the hell's happening right
he's
now?
He's really got
he's
a
fine.
Nick Martini
to play devil's
complex
advocate,
right
I,
here.
I totally understand the fan perspective. Hey, you guys are making
that's
some of you are making $30
million
a year to play
absolutely.
Baseball. You know your season's going to be over at the end of September. Can you at least give us until then and then take your off season after it's over as opposed to starting it in the middle of August, which is when it seemed like some Padres players began their off season.
Okay, I will say that having covered and you know this as well, it used to start in like June.
Yeah.
So
we're better.
And maybe we're getting further out, which is a good thing, but can I just say, too, you guys have this whole entourage around you today.
It's amazing.
I came up the escalator, and I couldn't
Twitter
even
accounts.
See you
they're
guys.
They're not real people.
Because
so,
you have so many fans around you.
No, these guys are
just burners.
Our tier
maybe
one listeners.
Burner is in here, you know?
It's been great. They've come in support. We really appreciate that. Yeah. Obviously, they couldn't do it without them. That's why we get out of bed. Right, Benny?
Yep, absolutely. Annie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
so
me, guys.
Let's
it's so much fun. It's great to see you guys.
She works so hard. She got the camera that she's got to take everywhere. Multiple jobs like me. It's much respect.
I have followed in your footsteps, Ben, but as you know, I'm getting old. You know, that
Come
camera.
On.
That camera's getting heavy.
No chance.
All right, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. Yesterday, I decided I'm going to go to the AJ press conference. I don't have the energy with me to have the big TV camera, try to get a spot in there. I'm just going to go and watch and observe, and I'll tell – if something big happens, I'll just tell people about it.
Yeah.
You know what? I know what he said. You don't need to see it. You know what he looks like. He's sitting there. I'll tell you what he said. I don't want to lug the camera through, 20 blocks of San Diego City just to get a five-second bite with A.J. Preller. Sorry. Just – it is hard work. So, Annie Halbert from the UT, Fox Sports San Diego.
Thank you, Annie.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
All right, a couple minutes left. Let's get Coach John Quintero. Coach, you want to come on and I'm interrupting a conversation. Sorry, Coach. I know you were having a conversation, but We got a couple minutes left. We just wanted to, as you get ready to start your show here in about 8 minutes.
It's time for the crossover.
I wanted to, first of all, acknowledge what a great job yesterday you did. I mean, the guests that you had, Joe Torre, Stan Kasten, Sandy Alderson, it was riveting.
Well, the ball bounced our way yesterday.
Yes, it did.
We had a lot of people working to get that. And, you know, I got a phone call when I got home from my son-in-law who was working yesterday, and he heard about Joe Torre, and, you know, he called me, and he was going absolutely crazy. I mean, Joe Torre, I mean, you can't get much better guests than a guy like Joe Torre.
Pretty
he
big.
Was great. He was gracious with his time. He actually showed up early for the interview. So rather than a seven-minute interview, I was able to Bogart it to 10.
Yeah.
Really excited. And Stan Kasten was great. I mean, part owner and – president of the Dodgers. We got our old buddy Sandy Alderson on yesterday,
one
too.
One bone to pick. I actually did love the Stan Kasten interview. You wished him good luck and success when he left, and we can't have him being successful here.
Well, you know what?
Success in
I wish him
just
good luck
polite,
during
right?
the offseason.
Good health, yes.
Good health. The Dodgers don't need any more luck.
They get pretty lucky, and they're probably going to get Garrett Cole and Rendon.
Lucky, and yeah, they're going to sign some big free agent here in the next few days, probably.
They've been remarably quiet.
Like the Dodgers?
The just lying in
lying
in the weeds, just waiting to strike.
Kind of like our Padres right now.
Well, listen, our guys, at least we've done something. We've made some improvements, and we'll see if this FAM deal works out today. I think we're supposed to know in this afternoon.
I'm pretty sure it's going to work out.
I am, too. And you just hope that work out and announce the deal to be official. That's one thing. Is he healthy enough to play and play at the level that Tommy Pham is capable of playing at next year? We're going to have to wait and see, which sucks.
Well, what would really be a stinker is if they couldn't, you know, if this deal got null and void and they couldn't agree on compensation, here comes Hunter Renfro and Eric Lauer back.
We still love you guys.
They'd be really excited about walking into the clubhouse in Peoria in February.
Somebody tweeted yesterday, I almost died. They said, how do I unburn a Hunter Renfro jersey? I was like, oh, no. Number one, why would you burn it? He didn't do anything. He got traded, but it killed me yesterday when I saw that. So.
You know, the story this morning, it just kind of came down. Apparently, the Angels are jumping in the Anthony Rendon sweepstakes. And, you know, it's hard for me not to think about Scott Boras, because whenever I watch an Angel game and they're playing at Angel Stadium, Scott Boras has those seats right down there behind home plate. He never sits in his seat. He's always standing. He stands out like a sore thumb. And, you know, I'm sure he'd love for his guys to be playing for the Angels so he can watch them pretty much each and every
read
night.
Read between the lines a little bit, though. If they're going after Rendon,
that
maybe
means they feel like somebody else is
Yankees
getting Cole.
Might be the favorite for Cole, or even the Dodgers might be.
Either that, or he's just trying to really, mix the pot up a little bit.
I still think the Rangers are going to end up with Rendon for some reason. He's from that area, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, from
and
Texas.
They're opening that new, beautiful ballpark that you got to have somebody, and Rugi Odor isn't getting it done there. Nomar Mazara, guys like that. You need a Rendon to get that fan base energized again. And as somebody that sat through their fair share of 119-degree baseball games, you've got this new beautiful stadium. It's going to be, you know, retractable and all that stuff. You got to have a superstar there. And Rendon, there's few bigger than that guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
know,
we were talking this morning about, you know, Garrett Cole. Even if the Angels are able to sign him, the Angels are so far away.
They're so far away.
Otani's coming back, and he apparently had a really nice bullpen workout yesterday. But at the end of the day, the Angels are so far away from really being a contender in the West.
Coach, you got about 5 minutes to get your game face on with Braden up next until 2 o'clock. We are done for the day. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., for 4 more hours from the baseball winter meetings. Great job, Paul Reindl, executive producer on site. The Hammer back in the studio along with Jordan Spurgeon.
Thank
for
you, Woodsy, Tier 1.
I'm Ben. Talk to you tomorrow right here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.